We have guest speaker, Pastor Haytham, ministers. Haytham, are you down? Is it Dearborn? Did you? Yeah, down in Dearborn, at an Alliance Church down there. And so we're going to continue our series in the Book of Luke, and he will be speaking on the parable of the 10 minas, or you'll see what the story is. So, Haytham, would you come on up here, and if we could welcome Pastor Haytham, give him your full attention. Thanks, Haytham.
Okay. It's a privilege to be here. Should I use this one? As I really love you. Do you believe that? I'm serious about that. So thank you for inviting me. Very thank you. I know that many of you have prayer requests and a lot of personal stuff. Today, my heart goes after a guy that I've been working with. He's our church mainly reaches out to the Muslim community. You probably heard me that I come from Muslim background. I came to know Christ when I was 19. And God put on my heart to reach out to Muslims. So this is our church. I came in 99 to Michigan and started church plant. Our church started in 2002. Can you hear me well, or they have to raise the mic? That's fine, right? You can hear me. So anyway, so one of the guys that I've been reaching out to, better? Okay. One of the guys. But I've been telling him about Christ. I got to a situation I didn't want to be in the first place. But make long story short, it's incredible. The world needs us. We're sort of like in a nice, cozy place outside. We're protected. We're not monks and nuns, but almost we're becoming like monks and nuns. We want to protect ourselves so we shun the world from us. We're afraid that the world will contaminate us. In reality, we should be proactive and not contaminate, but be contagious, sort of in a positive way. So, make a long story short, I've been witnessing to this guy, and he's amazing. He's amazed. I have another two Christians that work with us in that place, and a bunch of other Muslims. And they are amazed. The world do not know that you guys exist. Do you believe that? The world do not believe, or sometimes it's hard for them to believe, that you exist. What I mean by that means you love Christ, you really take the Bible seriously, and you really live holy in obedience to God's word. That you're loving, you continue to work on those who hurt you, you love them, you continue to reach out to them. The world don't believe that you exist. So this guy is so shocked. So he got into an accident and he hurt his back. And now he's asking, please pray for me in the church. Pray for me. Would you pray for George? Remember his name? Pastor Brady and myself.
Two guys prayed for him today. But remember to pray for George. And I promise you that I will keep you posted. What happens with him?
It's a deal? Who would pray for him? I want you to think of him to pray in two ways. One, that God will heal him. Do you believe that Jesus is a healer? He can heal. Second, that he'll come to know Christ. I mean, it's amazing what's his background. Also from Lebanon. So so pray for him. So that's where my heart is this morning. But I have another thing to share with you. If you open with me to Luke 19 and verse 11. Luke 19 and verse 11. To verse 27. In the beginning of chapter 19, I believe, probably you heard about a sermon about Zacchaeus and the story, but we go on to verse 11. While they were listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable because he was near Jerusalem, and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. He said,
a man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. Put this subject But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. He was made a king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said, sir, your mina has earned 10 more. Well done, my good servant. His master replied, because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. The second came and said, sir, your mina has earned 5 more. His master answered, you take charge of 5 cities. Then another servant came and said, sir, here is your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow. His master replied, I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow. Why then didn't you put my money on deposit so that when I came back I could have collected it with interest? Then he said to those standing by, take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. Sir, they said, he already has 10. He replied, I tell you that to everyone who has more will be given, but as for the one who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away. But those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me. Let's bow our head and pray. Father God, we trust you. We love you. There are things that we don't understand. But thank you for faith. We look to you, and with all the history and all the witnesses and the work of your Holy Spirit in them and in us that continue to change us and transform us to your image, Lord Jesus. Lord, by faith, we look up to you this morning and we ask you, help us to understand this passage. We want to learn. We want to be transformed. We want to obey. We love you. We thank you for forgiving our sins, for giving us new life, and giving us a new chance every day. Lord, for this reason, we bow our head and we worship you because you are worthy and we love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The background after the Lord Jesus had that encounter with Zacchaeus, I think he was telling them more stories because the passage goes on to say, while they were listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable. So somehow, I guess he left Zacchaeus' house and probably moving on and telling them more stories. And Luke was good at recording Jesus' stories. So while they were listening, and they're not only listening, they were expecting something. What were they expecting? Who knows? They were expecting something. They were going somewhere. So what were they expecting? Come on. I'm not going to let you sleep on me now. What were they expecting? What do you think they were expecting? It's in the passage. Quickly. Who knows? They were expecting the kingdom of God to appear at what? At once. So I read it in different languages. And really they were thinking, now Jesus is going to Jerusalem. This is the fulfillment of the prophecy that the Messiah will go on a donkey. And then all of a sudden, our king is going to rule over the world. He's going to emancipate us. He's going to free us from the Romans. And everything is going to be okay. So they were expecting the kingdom of God to appear. I had a series of sermons with my church, and I called it the Battle of the Kings. And I said, what is Jesus about? What do you think Jesus is about? If I want to know my God, I had two series. One is Knowing God. 101, Knowing God. Okay? We are trapped in sort of a stereotype ideas about God. And I think, let's empty ourselves and approach God's Word with a fresh spirit, sort of, and say, let God's Word impose itself on us. How did God basically reveal Himself to us? And let's take our preconceived ideas about Him away and just put it on the side for a moment. So I did that series and I went on and said, what is Jesus about then? Jesus, the Lord Jesus, the first sermon he preached about the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? I took the temptation and I said, Jesus wanted to prove to the people that He is the best king. You know, this world, a lot of leaders, a lot of kings tell you that I am the best king. We had election recently, right? They tell you, I am the best leader. Please vote for me. Elect me. And here's why I want you to elect me. Because of economical agenda, economics, homeland security, and education, healthcare, and they go on and on. What did Jesus do so we can elect Him as our king? What is the kingdom of God? That Jesus Christ is our king and savior, and a king over every aspect of our lives, not compartmentalized, not certain things in our lives. So I went on, and here's why I shared with the church. That's the first part. That Jesus approved that He is the best king, and He waged a huge war in Matthew 3. Where the temptation is. One, He proved that He conquered His needs, or His needs didn't dictate His behavior. If you're the Son of God, make this bread, make these stones bread. It's not, you know, sometimes we are driven by our needs. We become almost like animals. We are driven by instinct. But God gave us brain. He gave us His spirit in us. We're not like animals driven by instinct. Don't you see people around you driven only by instinct? Isn't it ugly? Okay? So He overcame that. He knew Himself. Jesus knew Himself. He didn't fake it. Some leaders, most of the leaders in the world, how many lies they make? They tell you, they promise you so many things, and it doesn't happen. So I don't want to preach that sermon, so I move on. And that, so He knew Himself, and when He said, if you're the Son of God, do this and that. And the third one, well, let me skip. The last temptation, the last war that Jesus conquered, you know what? The last that no one, no king, no emperor, no dictator, no one else on earth was ever able to conquer. A war that Jesus proved that He's the best warrior. You know what war He waged and won? The greatest war ever in history. They don't tell you about that in school. He waged war against death. You can shoot Jesus Christ with a nuclear bomb, atomic bomb, a hydrogen bomb. You can kill Him a million times, He'll rise again. He can't kill Jesus. All leaders of the world die, and their tombs and the bones in those tombs are evidence that their message is gone. We may study it in school. We may study about philosophers, good thinkers, political leaders, religious leaders. Their bones are in the tombs. I don't see all these guys. Okay, probably they are rotten that you don't even find their bones anymore. Jesus is worthy to be the king. So put in mind that type of king. That king that basically fed over 1,000 people. Imagine if you have an army of 5,000 people. The worst problem in those days is how you can transport food. If you have a king that can feed you from 2 fish and 5 loaves, you can conquer any nation on earth. If you have a king that can raise the dead, can heal the sick, any soldier that get cut or lose an ear or something, Jesus will do it back. You have the best
king ever to conquer any nation on earth. So they're looking at that guy, they're looking at that Jesus, and the kingdom of God is near. We're going to rule the world. We're going to just smash everybody.
And then you have the story of Zacchaeus, and they're waiting for the kingdom of God, walking with Jesus, and he tells them that story that drove them nuts, disappointed them, as put a wet blanket on them. So, what happened? This passage is split into two. The first part addresses the kingdom of God, faithfulness, and independence. Let's go with the first one, the kingdom of God. Now tell me, here's a question.
Why when Jesus, you know the parable is the man from a noble birth went to be appointed as a king, symbolized Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now why when the Lord Jesus went to another land to be appointed as a king, his own people said, we don't want this man. Send delegation, please don't come back, we don't want you a king. Why would you think they did this? What's the context? Why? I'll help you. Who did he accept in the kingdom? Who appointed him as a king on his life? In the passage prior to that? Zacchaeus. We have a lady in our church who said, one of the people in one of her relatives, she doesn't like, you know, she never liked that lady. She thought she's arrogant. She can never become a Christian. Well, guess what? A couple of years later, that lady came to know Christ. And she's on fire for God. And she went to her and said, I apologize. I thought you will never come to know Christ. You looked arrogant. You sounded really hard. But, you know, God taught me something. Now, can you imagine? Take a second and imagine the worst person that you don't like, that gives you a hard time in school, picks on you, make fun of you, or at home, or probably your husband or your wife. And imagine that you want to reach out to him. Can you imagine he's going to come to Christ? Do you think you'll like him after he comes to Christ? I don't want him to come to Christ, right? Well, those folks were being humiliated on a daily basis. Imagine if a Roman soldiers come to you and say, well, take my clothes and or my weapon and carry them for a mile. That's a lot. If I give you my weapon to carry them for me for a mile, you have to carry them for a mile. That's why Jesus said, whoever, what's the word in English? In Arabic, I say it in Arabic. How about that? Go with him 2 miles. So this is a lot. If a Roman soldier gives you his weapon and say, go out, you know, carry it for me for a mile, you're supposed to do that. Imagine those Romans going to their homes, eating their food, raping their women, taking their resources, humiliating the Jewish people on a daily basis. And the worst of this, you have ugly people from your nation who call them tax collectors. Working for the enemy. We hate those guys. You know, these are traitors. We wish we can kill them, but they're protected by the Romans, so we can't do it. So Jesus will come a tax collector into the kingdom. And so, in a very smart way, the Lord Jesus said, a man of a noble birth went to be appointed to another foreign country, foreign city, to be appointed to the foreign, the us and the them, the us, the holy, and the them, the bad guys. He went to them and to be appointed as a king. Remember Zacchaeus. So those guys knew what they were doing, or Jesus predicted. In chapter 20, he gives more explanation about that, the vinegar. Read that. A very close parable. He explains it with a new light. Take time to read that in chapter 20. So he goes on to tell them that he went as if the people in those days, he predicted that they would reject him. We don't want you, king. If you go, Lord,
Who has a really bad friend that really picks on you really bad? Come on. Anyone? Yeah, you have one. Okay. Lord, if you save that person, I don't want you to rule over me. Can you imagine if he says that? If you save that person, I don't want anything to do with you. There is a prophet that did that in the Old Testament. Do you know who that is? Jonah. Jonah told God, those people enslaved our people. They took us captive from Jerusalem all the way to Nineveh. And you want me to go tell them about salvation? I know you are merciful. Am I crazy, nuts, that you saved them? So they'd have eternal life like we do? No, you are too merciful. I can't trust you, God. And that's what happened with Jonah, right? So here is, make a long story short. Those people did not want the kingdom, did not want Jesus to rule over other people. Now, it's easy to pick on the Jews in of the old days. But don't we do the same sometimes? Don't we do the same? Where our pastor is our pastor. I wish we were a small group. We're too big. I don't get enough attention from my pastor. I wish, you know, we'd just stay like this. Who in the world these guys join us? Why? Leave it homogenous. Leave it like this. Praise God. Our church is from 9 different nations. It is awesome. You know, 9 different languages. Arabic languages are close, so I speak the classical instead of speaking my colloquial language, so we can understand, all of us. And then Americans and Arabs and Jews, and no matter what, come and worship Christ. If Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, your Lord and Savior, that's your place. So, but those guys left it, they wanted to be cozy. It is us and them. We all speak that language. Very unhealthy. It is us and them. No. It is all of us. God is a missionary God. Incredible. He wanted to be appointed as a king. Normally, to be appointed as a king, those people should come to him, bow to him, and give him respect, and appoint him as a king. But no, he went there. And we know the context of the passage. Zacchaeus, he's going seeking the lost. And he is the king. He wants to become the king of every aspect of our life. So
the first one is, it addresses the issue of the kingdom of God. I wish I preached too many times on the kingdom of God. But if I want to boil it, here is how I understood the kingdom of God. As a person that had no idea about Christianity. King and a kingdom. King, who's the king? Christ. Who's the subject? Me. In the old days, when you have a king, the king has total, complete authority over your life. He can kill you. He has a right to kill you. He has a right to keep you alive. He has a right to take your property, your wife, and children. So if I'm subject to my king, I tell Jesus, rule over all aspects of my life. Let me ask you a personal question. Are you in the kingdom of God? Some of you are getting baptized next week. It's great. Is Jesus your king? Or only your savior? Save me from my sin, but don't touch my personal life. I rule my life. You're not the ruler. You're my savior. So when I die, I have eternal life. But for now, you're just nice guy that saved me, that gave me something that beautiful that I can sleep at night thinking when I die I go to heaven. But you're not my king. So this is the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God, Jesus is your king, over all aspects of your life. Second is faithfulness. I have a pastor, a friend of mine that I'm accountable to. I used to tell him everything, all my struggles. I go to him and said, Tim, I'm struggling with this and this and that. Would you pray for me? Very transparent. And he used to tell me, Haytham, I'm
wrestling with this and that. Would you pray for me? And he always tells me, pray for faithfulness. I stay faithful. Faithfulness.
The issue with this guy, with these people, not as much as not using their talents, even though that's a big thing, and people preach about talents, and this is a gift from God, and I believe that's correct, that's proper, a proper conclusion. But I think is not as much as using your talent, but being faithful with the talent that you have. I have a guy,
I knew him from Lebanon, and I served with him as well in Canada. We reunited in Canada. Amazing how the Lord takes you to different places. So he has horrible voice. I'm serious. He does not hit the note. I mean, God did not call him to be a musician. That's for sure. Okay? Prophet, preacher, excellent guy. Leader, excellent guy. Great godly man. Godly wife. Well, he was upset in Lebanon that we wouldn't let him, you know, lead the music. Or in Canada, now he invested heavily to have a church there, and he doesn't want to be the pastor, but he's a great leader and great supporter of that church. But he leads the song. Horrible. God has given you a gift. Don't steal somebody else's gift. You have the mayor and you have the one that cleans the streets. I'm glad every Tuesday I wake up and the garbage is gone. But I don't see the one that cleans the garbage on TV. He doesn't have a glamorous position where, you know, reporters come to him and ask him questions and interview him. In the church, the Bible, in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, I believe, talks about spiritual gifts. Okay? Each one of us, God gave us a gift. To make a long story short and not preach forever and run quickly in the next 5 minutes, when do I stop? Quarter to? Okay. So, be faithful with your gift. Imagine if the drum wants to sound like the piano. No matter what you do with that drum, it's not going to sound like the piano. Take your gift and use it faithfully. That's what God asking you. Do you have a gift? Do you have a gift from God? When I came to know Christ, I asked God, Lord, would you tell me what's my gift? Do you know what he let me do? I'm a good driver. And Lebanon is a very tough place to drive. I started driving the van, picking up people back and forth to church. As a matter of fact, the church van broke down. I used my car. I had Mercedes-Benz car. And I used to haul that thing. Stack it with people. No seat belt rules. All that junk doesn't exist there, especially in the Civil War. So stack that car, like 13 people, take them to church. I had so much joy taking people to the church so they can hear God's word. Incredible joy. And then God promoted me to Sunday school teacher, assistant, then Sunday school teacher, and then youth leader. And then I don't know what happened to their brain, and they asked me to start preaching, and I really think God confirmed that call on my life. A little bit better. Be faithful what you have. Don't jump the ladder. Don't think too highly of yourself than what you really are. Allow God to work in your life. And let Him, allow Him to transform you. And get a feedback from the people, from the pastor, from the godly people that went ahead of you in life. And they can objectively, from outside, assess and help you with opinion. So, I think when we are teenagers, we think everybody's wrong and we're right. When you pass 25, you think, maybe they were right. When you're in your 30s, like, man, I was wrong. I wish I listened to everything they said. Right? I'm almost 40 now, so imagine what I'm doing. Saying they were really right, I was wrong. But so
The first part has to do with the kingdom of God, and then faithfulness, and the third one is independence. Look at that man and these guys that says, we don't want you to rule over us. And that man that had wrong ideas about who God is, who's that king of the noble birth is. We have preconceived idea of who God is. I don't know how we collect this from our life, social life, family, other people's opinions about God, but we have preconceived idea. And our worst mistake, what do you think our worst mistake and sin in our relationship with God? The worst is independence. God did not call us to independence, but He's calling us to dependence. When Adam and Eve were exploring the idea of rebelling against God, the idea that tinkled their mind and really the tempting lot, you know what it is? Independence. We can become like God. I can make my own decisions. I can be my own God. That's a lie. You cannot be your own God. You cannot. That's a lie. What you're doing is you're giving your neck to Satan to direct you. You're believing a lie. You cannot become your own God. Every decision we make, and if we want it to be healthy decisions, it's a decision that builds on the dependence of God. You and I have a lot of years ahead of us. Probably you more than me. I'm not too old, but you're younger than me. Almost the age of my kids if I was married early, or when my dad and mom wanted me to get married. But every decision, if you want to make and be secure, make it in dependence on God. That's a struggle that I wrestle with, and probably Pastor Brady and everybody, that we love to make our own decisions on a daily basis. But a godly decision is made based on depending on God. Not on those crazy faring things, risk-taking and stuff like that. There is nothing wrong with taking risks with God. But as long as our decisions are based on depending on Him first, not on us. Okay. Now, this man here that took that minna, and by the way, the minna in the original language means, it has to do with the root verb of faithfulness. So as if He gave them faithfulness. Each one, remember, 10. Each one He gave them faithfulness. And say, let me see what you're going to do with this faithfulness. Silver. Or you can play with the words and you end up from the same root word, faithfulness. Umana. Amana. Okay, in English, I don't know how they came up with the minna. But amana. So this guy had a wrong idea of who God is. One, he was afraid of God. Second, he said, you're a hard person. You take from where you don't reap, goes on. It's not true. It's not true. I don't know how he got his ideas. Who gave the minna? Who gave him the minna in the first place? It's God. So God didn't take from him anything. And on the other side, God was very generous in giving more with those who were faithful. Let's move on. So this is the one. It's independence. Remember, the first part of this story has to do with three things: the kingdom of God, faithfulness, and independence. Kingdom of God, God is the king of my life, every aspect of my life. Faithfulness, be faithful with the little things, because the reward is great. I'll get to that. And then independence, be careful to live your life based on your own decision making. Base your decisions based on depending on God. Not as if you live on your own without God. So the second part is, we read it when the king comes back, and what did that guy gain? The minna is worth 4 months' wages. So basically he gave them, here is 4 months' wages, go get busy. Or use it or lose it. So they went, did their homework. The first one came and he gained 10. So what did he give him? 10 cities. I believe what the Lord Jesus is saying is, if you take your gift and be faithful at it, with it, the reward is incredible. So let's go back to your gift. Whatever your gift is, success is measured not by numbers. We're very good in the West to measure by numbers. Success is measured by faithfulness. So if you're faithful with your gift, the reward is huge. 10 cities. This is a huge. No one deserves 10 cities, no matter how much he gained. So principle number one, the second part is, the reward is huge if you were faithful with your gift. Number two, your gift is not yours. I was watching the guys playing guitar and stuff. I wish to play guitar. I played a little bit, but I quit. I didn't think I can make it. And folks, use that gift that God gave you. Who was playing the guitar? Let me see. Who was leading the worship? You guys want to raise your hand? Shy? No? And here too. Yeah. Don't allow Satan to contaminate your gift. Many of you have a lot of gifts. Don't allow Satan to contaminate your gift. This gift is not from you. It's from God. It doesn't belong to you. It is God. And God gave it to you. And I've seen a lot of good, godly people that took tons from God and perverted that to some other means. Don't do that. Use it for His glory or lose it. God is serious. Be faithful and use it for His glory. Don't think that you are too smart. God always warned the people in the Old Testament, saying, look, I'll let you go into the land, not by your might, not by your strength. It is me. Be faithful or I get you out. And that's why He sent them into exile a couple of times. Be faithful. And the last one, and I'll stop. Punishment is serious. Do you believe in hell? Who believes in hell? Hell is serious and eternal. It is eternal. And those people thought they can be their own God and they can, you know, get away from the wrath of God. And He said, bring them over. One day, now Jesus is calling people to follow Him, embrace Him as Lord and Savior willingly. One day, Jesus will come back to all the nations and say, those who didn't crown me as Lord and Savior, they will crown me by, they will bow by force. But unfortunately, they will bow in hell. The language that the Lord Jesus used is very hard language. Bring them and kill them in front of me. That's a hard language, isn't it? Wouldn't you like say, whoa, I didn't know that. You're too harsh, Lord. But He's serious. Because out of His love, saying, look, it's a serious issue. If I'm not your Savior, I will be your judge. Which one do you want? If I'm not your lawyer, I will be the judge that you stand in front of. So, here is, let me boil this to you. Quickly. Jesus is a missionary God. He's out there telling everybody that I am the best king that you can ever have. Crown me your king over every aspect of your life. Okay? I would expect from you faithfulness. I would also expect from you a life of dependence on me. Because the reward is great, and I want to make sure that whatever you have is from me because I love you. And the last thing is, if you don't embrace who I am now, then you're setting up yourself for judgment. May the Lord give us faithfulness, and may the Lord give us wisdom how we can live our life as a citizens of the kingdom of God. I think the best way, let me finish with this. When God created us, He created us to reflect who He is. He put His image into us. And what happened is, as if somebody came and threw rock on that mirror, broke it. Your life is a mirror.
that reflect the image of God. So when God created you, so if the angels or Satan or whoever look at you and say, wow, that's a pure reflection of who God is. What happened is, because of the sin, that image was shattered. It's not reflecting the pure image of God. Jesus Christ came and He made you new. He made me new. He made you new. So we can reflect who He is. And He made us citizens of the kingdom of God. So now back we are in the kingdom, reflecting to the world that outside that kingdom who God is. And hopefully when they look at us, they see who Jesus Christ is.
If you want to know what's in my heart right now, I pray that everyone, every single one of you is in that kingdom. Are you in the kingdom? Are you in the kingdom of God? Are you reflecting the image of God? Did Satan bring black marker wrote on your life and you put black dots on you? Did he? There's an opportunity now. Say, Lord, I want to reflect who you are in my life. I'm sorry I allowed Satan to put black marks on me. Would you please erase them? Let's bow our head and tell him, Lord, please erase them. I have failed. Thank you for giving me another chance. Please erase them. Take your time. Tell him, Lord, I'm sick, tired of my sin. I've been failing you over and over and over. I'm not getting it. But I want you to be my king. I want you to be my savior. I want you to be everything in my life. Sin, Lord, is leaving me thirsty. Nothing is fulfilling me. Would you fulfill me? Would you forgive me? I've hated myself and others. It's time to allow your love flow out of me, to me and to others as well. Would you please forgive me? If you made that decision, I want you to, after the meeting, to go to Pastor Brady or somebody, one of the leaders, and tell them, I made that decision. I want to follow Christ. He's worthy. Pastor Brady, would you come pray for us?
Father, we thank you so much for what you've given to us. Such a faithful God, and you have blessed us with spiritual gifts, with abilities, with skills. Father, let us not be like the last servant who sat on what had been given to him, who took it and hid it away and never used it for your purposes and for your glory. Help us to be faithful servants, even with the small things, day by day, little by little, just to be faithful with what you've given to us. And Lord, we await for the reward we'll receive as we are shown faithful to you. We long to hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. This is what we long to hear from you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, can we have the...